Welcome to the Saved by the Bell podcast, and I'm here with Jenny Mutu. And Jenny is a leadership coach that engages Gen Z in the workforce and also teaches leaders how to do that. So we're just going to have a bit of a conversation today about what over 50 business owners struggle with and what can we teach the kids at school to help them with that. So Jenny, over to you. So is that what you do, first of all, I should say?
Look, Academy was set up for two reasons. Number one is on the basis of some advice that I got actually at the very beginning of my adulting kind of life by a gentleman named Jim Rohn. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jim Rohn was the grandfather of personal development, and he had all these philosophies and teachings. And one of them that I really latched onto was work harder on yourself than you do on your job. Mm-hmm. And that was advice I heard in my early 20s, and I adopted that and integrated that. And I really didn't fully understand all of what Jim was talking about back then. Mm-hmm. And I think that as the years have gone on, it's become advice that was absolutely gold for me and something that I want to impart in other younger people. And essentially, if you're wondering what that's all about, you know, a lot of times we'll get qualifications, we'll get certifications after we got qualifications, mm-hmm. and there's a continual learning journey, which is important. But if that continual learning journey is all academically focused, or it's all focused around qualifications, mm-hmm. and you're not developing soft skills, and you're not developing who you are as a character, and you're not developing your other skills, like whether it's spirituality, money skills, those kinds of things, then you're going to be in a great position to be somebody who gets made redundant in a job. Mm. And I've seen that over the last 20 years of my career. So what else is also interesting about that? Or Fred's laughing at the birds in the background.
This is something that I guess Gen Z's, they get distracted. A lot of business owners are let's call it bright, shiny object syndrome. They get distracted. Is that something that you think that's more of a problem with over 50 business owners, or is it just that Gen Z, they don't know what to do, or they're not getting good advice from their trainers or something like that? What's their sort of feedback, or what do they think of Gen Z? They just say, oh, they're just lazy, or do they have any sort of understanding what they're going through, do you think?
There's like five different questions in that one. On the attention span thing, I got to say, I think that technology is a huge barrier to creating focused, you know, time where people can develop that skill. And I think it has become a skill, the skill of being able to just focus, mm-hmm. do one thing at one time,
like,
and get it done.
Yeah.
And that's certainly something I think we can all practice. But I think technology is a huge, let's say, enemy towards our focus and our attention. So mm-hmm. that's an interesting dynamic. In terms of employers, what are employers complaining about? All sorts of things. So they're complaining that young people are lazy, that their values are different, that they don't understand them, and they don't know how to get through to them, that they don't want to work. And I'm going to say that that's not the truth. I think that young people just need a lot more support than maybe in previous generations. Mm-hmm. And when you consider the environment that they've grown up in, it kind of makes sense that this is the case. There's a lot of studies coming out that sort of talk about young people maturing later in life. So an 18-year-old today is not the same as an 18-year-old of previous generations, and in terms of their resilience and their capability and things like that. So I think we need a shift in terms of how we approach young people and understand that there's probably a little bit more nurturing and development that still needs to happen. And they missed out on a lot of skills in a lot of ways, you know?
And you mentioned that, you know, when they're young, like I had my first business when I was 21. Mm-hmm. I'd gone to uni to be a teacher, ironically. So they weren't treating me like I was young, but it's not that they were treating me, I was young, but they weren't treating me like I was young because I was actually making mature decisions, because I'd moved from the country to the city, down to Sydney and all of this sort of stuff. So I'd been through that. But in a couple of years, I basically got a bit self-sufficient. So do you think it's a case that looking at the figures, when I started my business, 15% of businesses were owned by someone under 30. Now only 6% are. But the average age of a business owner back then was 38. Now the average age of a business owner is 50. So this is where there's been two gaps that are broadening there as well. And this is where I think that with just from your comments there, this is what they think of Gen Z and everything else. Do you think that the over 50s may have forgotten what it was like for them back in the days? Or
I don't know if it's a case of, I mean, maybe to some extent. Recently I heard a 24-year-old talk about how she drinks milk to get the calcium from that. And I had a little chuckle because I grew up in my 20s delving into multi-level marketing as an option for making money and generating additional cash. And that came with a lot of personal development and, you know, awareness training around health and some of the lies that we get told. So that reminded me of where I was at that age, you know, and that sort of prompted that. So, yes, maybe there's a little bit of a lack of understanding there, but I think you have to look at, if you're 50 today, what environment did you grow up in? You grew up when there was still a telephone on the wall, no mobile phones, you know, and it's a very different sort of state of affairs, a lot more morality in society than perhaps this generation has grown up in, you know, inside of like environmental socialism, you know, being really supported to voice their opinions and have to political persuasion at quite a young age around, you know, voicing their opinions about different things. They're a lot more tolerant, I suppose, of differences than previous generations. So there's a lot of things that have shaped this generation. And anyone I ask who's a parent and I ask them, do you parent your children the same way you were parented? I have not got a yes once, you know? So we have to understand that we've been shaped by our environment and we're influencing the younger generation based on that. They're not going to be the same.
Well, given what you said there and dealing with, you know, kids at school and this sort of stuff, and people like Gary Vee say, you're young. Even if you're 30 or you're 40, you're still young. You've still got another 30, 40 years of working. Now, I think that, you know, the school leavers that I see that don't get into university have more in common with the over 50s in business that are looking to start their own business or something like that because they can't get a job because of ageism or whatever else and all this sort of thing.
But you know what's great? You know what's interesting about where we are? So we just talked about the generation who are 50 versus the young generation now. For people who are 50, you had two options, get a job the option to get a job, go to study or start a business. For most people, starting a business was not an option. It wasn't something you considered unless you grew up in that environment and you were around that environment. So if you weren't good at study, then you just had a job. But this generation has grown up in the YouTubes, you know, and the all sorts of influences and people who are making money in very different ways that used to not be accessible for our generation and now currently is, right? Like literally all you need is a camera and you're off and you can be starting your own YouTube channel, yeah? And you can be monetizing that.
Well, it is something, but there's very few people that do it. And this is where I've done courses on monetizing YouTube and everything else. But the amount of work that you have to put into that, if you put that much work in for a business, you would be on $100,000 or something these days as an IT consultant. The average wage, I think, for an IT consultant is around about $150,000 to $200,000 these days. These kids have grown up with this technology. So what do you think it is preventing over 50 business owners from actually employing the kids and actually giving them the strategy and telling them, this is how I want you to do it?
Look, I think that if you're over 50, and I'm not saying this about everybody, but certainly, you know, my partner runs the Tuesday webinars for small business owners who are predominantly over 50. And what we find is that a lot of people over 50 do struggle with aspects of tech, particularly if they are in small business. To their credit, a lot of people are willing to go in and, you know, get under the hood of technology and figure it out. And that's certainly necessary. But if you've got a business owner who is a little bit more tech resistant, they don't necessarily have the skills that they need to be able to on par. And, you know, you mentioned this earlier when we were talking before off camera, is that one thing that I'm finding a lot of people are not talking about with regards to AI is the level of critical thinking skills that are going to be required Because if you've now got the technology who can do all the thinking for you, you now need a level of discernment and critical thinking to be able to understand, is this the right step for your business or not? You know, and AI is constantly evolving, but doesn't mean it's evolving in the right direction. And it doesn't mean it's evolving in a way that's going to serve you, you know, and what you ultimately need as a business owner.
And this is what, when we're teaching the unit to develop critical thinking in others with the school kids, part of that is the differentiating between creative thinking and critical thinking.
Yeah.
Now, ChatGPT is great at coming up at options, but if you ask it what's the best option, it'll go through the reasoning and it'll tell you why this, but it's got no consideration of what's the best option for you because it doesn't know you. Unless you put in that input or you put in the prompting or you put in the business, it can tell you what would be the best option for Simon Sinek, what would be the best option for, like Janine Vosper said, she's got 175 podcasts or online. It's not hard to work out what her values are and all this sort of thing through social media. So ChatGPT could actually come up with what's the best in their opinion for her business. And it would be pretty close to on brand. But she says that when she gets younger generation to actually do work for her, they come up with all these stuff that they think looks good, but it's not on brand and it's not what she wants.
Yeah, and so you'd have to ask, like, how good are you as an employer at providing that instruction? And mm-hmm. and do you have the time to do that? And see, that's part why Academy was created, because employers were complaining that they don't have the time to sit there and handhold and mm-hmm. babysit. So we've created a model where we come in as almost like a pastoral care model. So you go as the business owner and focus on making money and doing what your business needs to do. We map the skill level that the employee needs to have, and we help them build that skill level and that mindset that goes with it and the emotional intelligence that backs it up. And so you've got a whole skills development framework that's helping this young person get up to speed. Because if they haven't had the training at school and they're not getting the training in the workplace, we can't expect to wave a magic wand and just expect them to know, you know, what this means.
Yeah, and I agree. This is where working on my communication skills, and I'm well known for over-communicating, shall we say. But there are profiling systems out there, like this profiling system that says people that, you know, want to be communicated in this way. So there's things that they could learn that it's based on technology, some of it, or theory that's been around since the 1980s and all of this sort of stuff. So is it more of a case, do you think, that because they've grown up with the technology and the Google where you just go to page one and that's what's seen as the thing? I sort of think that in our days when we didn't have Google and we had phone books and everything else, you used to have incidental learning. You were looking for this, but you would come up with all this sort of thing.
I think that still happens online. Yeah. I know that I will be looking for something and that incidental learning, you know, happens.
But this is where, you know, discovery learning, we've gotten so good with keyword searches and all of this sort of stuff and SEO that, you know, it's kind of guiding it, but we're the generation that's created that. So is it a case that if we've got the communication skills to get them off track, shouldn't they have the communication skills to actually be able to communicate what they want, or is it do they really know what they want, is the question?
I think personally, I think it goes beyond. See, and again, this is the heart behind what we do and why I do what I do, is that it's easy to, we like to simplify as humans, right? Like if I just do this, then that'll solve all my problems. Yeah. So it's not just the communication skills. Here's what's behind the communication skills. It's agency. Mm-hmm. Do I have agency over myself? Mm-hmm. And we're not teaching young people that. In fact, most adults don't have that.
So you know? What do you mean by agency?
Agency. I'm talking about personal power. Mm-hmm. You know. So I'm talking about, and this everything gets expressed in communication anyway. But it's your ability to understand where you have power and where you don't have power.
Mm-hmm. And can you do?
Yeah, and what do you do? And most of us don't have most people are not taught those skills. They're not taught how to identify them. They're not taught what to do when they experience a lack of agency or they experience being disempowered.
Well,
you know?
It sounds like on the Inception website, the first thing is we don't have a skill shortage. We have a shortage of people that knows what skills they have.
yeah.
And this is what I find. You can do tests and all this sort of thing. And we've got a free online test for the 14 transferable core skills for work. So I think it's a case that, from my point of view, it's a lack of context, I guess, in regards to the learning.
A lack of context, yeah,
how it's
absolutely.
For them.
Yeah.
So do you think that one way
but
of engaging...
But also, like, if you think about it,
yeah.
Let's say that you don't have a young person, you're just using the AI and you're wanting the AI because you wanted to talk about communication skills. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that ChatGPT, just for want of a better AI to, you know, use as an example, teaches you, if you're willing to learn and understand how to do the prompts and things like that, has the potential to teach you better communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an employer over 50 years old who's using ChatGPT yeah. to get something done in your business, and you're not getting the results that you want out of ChatGPT, then you've got to wonder what instructions are you giving the chat mm. that you're potentially giving young people, and you're getting the same result.
Yeah,
you know?
Garbage in, garbage out. Yeah.
So if you are much more willing to be patient with the tech, then maybe we've got to transfer some of that patience to the mm. young person. And like you said, create that context. Really look at what is the goal we're trying to achieve here, mm. and not just give one-line instructions and expect that you're going to get a great result.
And this is what I did with, I've got a clustered mapping system that I've been using and doing it in my head in Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, yeah? Tell me about it.
I wanted to teach ChatGPT how to do it, but it took 40 iterations of it, me giving it instructions, trying to get it to do this, and trying to get it to do this in the four steps. 47 attempts at creating an Excel sheet it took me to get it. But when I finished it, I said, can you now look back through the chat? Can you give me the prompts to put in to get this outcome at each of these four steps? And it gave me the prompts and it said, do this, don't do this, don't do this. And it went through there and I thought, well, great. Now I've got something that I can train other trainers to do it. So we've released this as an open source thing because it's something that ChatGPT can do, but it puts the training into a realistic, real-world context that business owners understand. And then when an RTO goes to them and says, hey, we've got this course, have a look at this, and this is our training, this is what we're training them, it makes sense to them because it's mm. going through a logical training process that mm. we're doing in the business. So this is where it's not ChatGPT. I don't believe ChatGPT or AI in general takes mm. people's jobs, but people who use AI properly are the ones that are taking people's jobs because they don't need to be an instructional designer now to develop a course for me. But they need to be a subject matter expert to actually put content into that framework that I've developed for them there as well. So this is a case that's a different skill to what normal instructional designers would have, but every trainer has that or should have that.
Well, you're probably ahead of the curve, I would say, because if we're looking at just general corporate, you know, Australia, I think they're still very much on the old framework of experience and you have to fit into this bubble. I think that people don't realize that bubble is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said before, like all these jobs are going to become somewhat redundant and they're going to require a new level of thinking about mm. how that work gets done and the outcome you're looking for.
There's going to be other jobs that are created.
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
This is where maybe not so much for the older generation, but there's no reason why someone over 50 needs to start thinking about retirement because of AI, if they're understanding how AI is used and how the younger generation moves, doesn't that give them the opportunity to do something different for the next 30 years until they retire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where I'm sort of seeing with a lot of the coaching that goes there. So, you know, I'm seeing that empathy is obviously a big thing with you and, you know, the conversations like, yeah, you've got to think about this. This is something that, but it's also one of those skills that it is actually in the Core Skills for Work framework, but they don't call it that. It comes under another name. But how personal skills like ethics, empathy, learning, how important is that for the business owners as well as for the Gen Z? Is there a difference?
I think that they are important. There probably would be a difference just in terms of, you know, how much it's valued and the level of priority it is for mm-hmm. each individual person. And I think that this is where it comes back to personal agency. You know, like the young person is there for an objective that they're trying to achieve, regardless of whether they know how to achieve that or not. And I think that that's where the nurturing and the support comes in to help them take those steps towards. And for the business owner, they've got their own agenda. And this is neither good nor bad. It's just about, well, how do you work together now to, you know, walk that same path? Do ethics and morals and, you know, all that play, come into play? Yeah, I think they do.
And it's a fear of automation, I find, rather than fear of AI.
Yeah.
You know, automating things like the decision-making process and the critical thinking, which we know that AI gives you options, but if you ask to come up with an option for you, not so best. Who knows you better than you? There's no one out there that does it. But this is where a lot of marketing agencies use it for research and things like that as well. It's not so much that you don't do a competitive analysis to copy competition. It's finding out what works for them, but also to what works for you, and how can I make money out of it if I can find a solution to a problem that the whole industry's got. This is where I see AI coming into the fore.
Yeah, I mean, on that topic, it's quite interesting, because if you're willing to open up your mind with regards to that, and using that example, I mean, as I said, there's so many people on YouTube who are making money from what they're doing and then teaching that online. Anything from, I think one girl I followed makes little clay earrings, and all of them are food related. And who knew there was a market for clay earrings, you know, food clay earrings, you know? But she's doing well. She's doing six figures just in that alone. And another lady who has a Shopify account and uses ChatGPT to do really deep research to be able to know what kind of designs to put on her t-shirts that her market are going to want and resonate with. And so when you listen to her video and the depth of thinking that has gone into the questions she's going to ask ChatGPT and how she structured those questions, I mean, that they're just phenomenal, you know, and I think that that's the opportunity that's there, is that we can free our minds up from the mundane stuff and really get into the creative elements, the AI, you know.
Okay, well, if people out there watching this, if you want to connect with Jenny, how can they do that?
The best way to connect with me would be through my website on Academy, which is spelled a little bit funky, ACADAME, academy.co, or via LinkedIn, and I'll provide you with a link. How's that?
Yeah, wonderful. Okay.
All right.
Thanks for your time, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the next episode.